keep showing me love, and you never put. God, it's just me and you.
Go. Stop it. Get some help.
I'm Michael Jordan. Stop it. Get some help.
Exactly.
You are all I care about.
That was beautiful. I think that was an absolute beautiful example of what it looks like to be that sort of leader in that moment, especially to a parent that maybe knows it and doesn't know it to that extent, but it's like to kind of have those moments is what makes it so beautiful as a leader, you know, like to have those times like, hey, this is what we do and this is how we do. And like you said something so important that I really want to hit on. And it's, am I asking the Lord to lead me not into temptation today?
Yeah.
And that is something that I think that because we get so busy with our lives, because we get stressed, we get so much damage and everything, there's something that we forget to do that. And sometimes we forget to do that. Like, especially forget that.
Or even that we can do that.
Yes. Oh,
like,
man.
Is that a prayer that we're allowed to pray? Like, can we pray that? And theologically accurate? You know, we get caught up in our own understanding. And we're like, Jesus said that.
Yeah, no, he did.
Said, pray like this.
And I think that's so good because it's like, especially as a man, especially as well, I've been growing in this walk of Christ, you know, being able to now be on missions in this way. It's like, for me to say that and to do that prayer, like, in front of a group, it doesn't seem too good. It seems to the point wrong because it's like, okay, now people are going to look at me weird. But and it reminds me of, like, what the Pharisees did. And why Jesus was said, no, this is what prayer really looks like, was like they were so focused and fixated on how they looked that they didn't realize that their example was showing them that you need to be this perfect for you to be like us. And Jesus is like, no, you need to be like this man that is genuine in his prayer, that even though everybody is hearing him, everybody is looking at him wrong, and I don't know what that's saying. This is what it genuinely looks like to come into my presence.
That's good stuff.
And I really like that just kind of hit me that you said that because it's like, that's the way that the Lord did.
Yeah.
Like the Lord himself, when he prayed his own prayer before he went to the cross, was like, Father, take this cup away from me.
Yeah, if it be possible.
Yeah, and he's like, but nevertheless, let your will be known. The Lord, oh Lord, the King of Kings, the King of this earth, the King of
the earth. The one who is perfect.
The one who is perfect, but see,
can pray a prayer about temptation, can pray a prayer about, hey, my desires aren't matching your desires.
Right? It's really not.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go to the cross. He doesn't want to die, but he's like, but we need to do it this way.
Then how much more do I need to pray that? If he was able to pray it, if he was willing to pray it.
And sometimes we miss that. You know, I like this one. 5:2-3 said, it said that, you know, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for disobedient gain, but urgently. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being example to the flock.
Yeah.
I really love that, especially the compulsion, but willingly. You know, it's like
it's a contrast.
The contrast, because it's like we either want to do it like to kind of manipulate you or to kind of be like, do this or do that. You know, Jesus, when he did that prayer, he didn't do it to manipulate us, saying, "Fine, this is how I need to be doing it." So now, you know, he did it because in that moment, he was really feeling that. And how much more do we feel those too? But we're so scared to go into that because we're like, shouldn't we already been over this? Shouldn't we already overcome it? Like, shouldn't we already like kind of gone through it? But like, what do we gotta do? Everyday struggle, everyday battle, to like you even said, it's like every night I'm like going to repentance to realize that, hey, today, even though it was a great day, I'm doing something wrong. There's something that there's no right in my attitude or right in my character or even right in my form of saying things.
Yeah.
And how do I fix that? How do I look at that? How do I be like, okay, God, yeah, change this in me, you know? Yeah.
I like that verse that you just read. Okay. I need to be, you know, a leader, an overseer out of my willingness, not just out of compulsion, but it was also being an example to the flock, you know, and that comes back to washing feet, being the servant leader that Jesus was. Am I willing in circumstances, in my leadership, to serve and to love others? Because when we do that, and I believe that this is one of the reasons that Jesus just told us to, we find that our faith, that, you know, what we're preaching is actually credible.
Yeah,
you know, it comes back to the hypocrisy thing that, you know, I actually believe what I read in the Bible. I actually believe what I preach out of His Word, rather than just telling everybody else to do it, but I'm exempt.
Man, that's so good. I love that. I got a question that just kind of been kind of banging in my head. Was that, you know, through that, you know, the willingness and compulsion, There was a little thing that kind of just popped in my head as I was reading that, and like I was kind of studying it, is that when it comes to willingness, how do we lead people to understand the vision and not force them to understand the vision? Mm. You know, how do we willingly guide them to get what the vision looks like, how it comes to run, and not forcingly pushing them and be like, this is how we need it to be done, you know?
No, we just all need to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so if I'm going to trust His Word, okay, I'm directing and pointing them to the Word of God, but let's live it out together.
Yeah.
Let's taste and see that He is good. And so rather than just telling them, hey, you need to be doing your daily devotionals and you need to be reading their Bible, go and read the Bible with somebody. Yeah, go in and see, wow, this really isn't as difficult as I have convinced myself that it is. Sure, you might run across verses that you don't understand. I think we all do. I asked a whole group of adults the other day, I said, how many of you think the Bible is confusing sometimes? And every hand, including mine, went up.
Yeah.
That's why we study it. And that's why we learn to love it. But, you know, even things such as forgiveness, okay? If I'm going to believe that it's better for me to forgive rather than be resentful, let me taste and see.
Mm.
You know, like Sam's Club style, you know, sample day. Let's sample it out. Let's see, okay? Start small. Try forgiving somebody. Let's do it together.
Yeah.
And then when you see, wow, the release, the fact that this person no longer needs to be punished by me for what they've done to me. I'm not saying it was okay.
Yeah.
But I am saying, I'm not going to punish you any longer. I'm going to choose forgiveness, because not only did Jesus command it, He told me it was good.
Wow.
And then you taste and see, and you're like, wow. And so I think that's one of our roles as pastors, because a pastor is a shepherd, and we guide and protect people. Not that they would follow us, but they would follow the good shepherd.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just sheep with a shepherd's crew.
Yeah. Like, it's like,
and we stay the sheep.
Yeah.
And we're just sheep that are helping the other sheep.
Yeah. That's important. You know, it's like you said it, like leading them to the great shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I think what kind of hit me with that is like, I can't force somebody to go by my vision. I just have to be willingly guide them to the Lord's vision, to how He's already seen it and how He's already done, and let them figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't force nobody. I can't force nobody to see things how I see it. Mm-hmm. I can try to present it to you as best as I can, and I can make it pretty. I can make it look even nice, but me forcing you to it is never going to change the form. It's never going to change the fact that it's not what you need.
Yeah. And I think another example for American Christians, I'll even call out the millennials because I am one.
Yeah.
We're all so busy. And the Lord told us to rest. The Lord told us to rest. And so me and Bailey have, and we missed some days, but, you know, we have set aside our Saturdays, you know, from Friday evening at 6 to 8 p.m., somewhere in there, to Saturday evening from 6 to 8 p.m., like we choose to Sabbath. And what does that mean? You know, we don't fill our day full of work or cleaning the house or errands or things like that, but instead we choose to rest, and we go for hikes and enjoy creation. We sit on the couch, we take naps, and you know, we rest the way that the yeah. Lord commanded it. And it's so easy for American Christians to say, well, I'm busy, you know, and the kids have this, and I mm-hmm. have this, and, you know, there's a birthday party here, and, you know, there's a family festivity or activity here, and if we just fill up our schedules and we constantly disobey.
Yeah.
And we don't ever taste and see, wow, and Sabbathing is good. And we do it on Saturdays because we're in ministry, and, you know, Bailey's on the worship team at church, and,
yeah.
And I do children's ministry, so Sunday is unrealistic, but that doesn't mean that the command to rest still doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. And do you think people, like, have missed that part? Is, like, they think that if they do rest, it's actually, like unforgivable? You know, like, I think a lot of people have really seen it that way, where it's like, okay, but if I rest, then there's something got to be wrong, or there's this, or there's that. Like, why is it that resting is not even a good viewpoint anymore? Because, like, have people disrespected that? Have they touched it, done it wrong in a way?
I think it's a really good question. I don't think I have a concrete answer there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the schedule has just become so domineering.
Mm.
You know, and if we let the schedule become God, you know, and we're scared of consequences for saying no or missing out and that sort of thing, even in obedience unto the Lord, I think that fear of man that you were talking about people's opinions, doesn't just apply to the way we look on the outside or what we believe, but also, you know, am I somebody who's going to show up? You know, are they going to call me flaky because I chose to Sabbath
to actually say no?
And, you know, whether it's work or home ownership or these sort of things, I think, you know, people have chosen to just absolutely fill their schedule.
Yeah.
And then if they actually, I think, took a step back and looked just how much idle time you actually have with entertainment and doom scrolling and Netflix and that sort of thing, I think they'd realize you're resting, but not healthy resting.
Ooh, you know? That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, when you work out, you have your active days, but you also have what's called active resting.
Mm-hmm.
So active resting is, did I stretch today? Did I walk today? It means I didn't work out, but I still moved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I think if people knew, okay, you can actually have quality rest and not, you know, wasted rest. And I'm guilty of this at times too.
Absolutely.
You know,
the
hour before bedtime, we're really not supposed to be on our screens and our phones. And I'm guilty of that all the time of, hey, I'm unwinding, you know, and, you know, I'm on YouTube or whatever. And really what I should be doing is, hey, my phone is up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've put that away for the night, and it doesn't beckon me anymore.
Excuse me. Oh my gosh. Oh man. And that kind of like also makes me think of like, are people really scared to say no nowadays?
Yeah.
And I think
they are.
Yeah, I really do think, because something that like had me fear was like, you know, in my old church was like, if I say no, then they're not going to want to use me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but I want to be used. I want to do this, but I want to watch myself. I want to do that rest.
Yeah.
And it's like people, like, I think there's some leaders that really see that no as like something so personal.
Yeah.
That they're like,
that's
okay,
the word I was going
to
use.
Yeah. Like it's like so personal to the point where like, okay, yeah, cool. They said no, I can't use them anymore. And it's like,
yeah.
Why is it that we as humans, we kind of go to that? We're like, oh yeah, you said no, that's fine, don't worry about it. You say no, let this be the last time that I even try to ask you for this.
Yeah, I think it's definitely twofold of not taking no's personally, especially they come to me. You know, I'm somebody who has an amazing team of volunteers and I have an amazing team of staff and interns and that sort of thing. And you know, taking their no's at face value, you know, or if I need to ask a question, then ask a question,
mm-hmm.
but don't make it a loaded one. you know, where they feel like they're going to get in trouble. And so not only that, but for when we do say no.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I saying no? When am I saying no? Is it valid? And, mm-hmm. and to what things am I saying no
to? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
and
that's
how
good.
Often, and I think not to do this out of fear, but do it out of love.
Yeah.
Because if I say no and a fear response, I'm like, hey, I don't want you to judge me. Hey, I don't want you to not like me, but I need you to know why I said no. But if just out of consideration, I think that's the good word.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I've got to say no. And it's really because me and Bailey, we haven't been able to rest, and we're going to rest.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm just giving somebody a little bit of context. You know, I'm giving them a little bit of a window into my life and letting them know, hey, I'm going to say no this time. Mm-hmm. I'm really just under the weather, and I need to rest tonight or something like that.
And that's so good. Cause,
You know, even a rain check to let somebody know, hey, I'm going to tell you no this time, but you can count on me next time.
Yeah. And
that matters.
And I think that's so good because, like, also, like, people forget that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People forget, be like, okay, cool. Like, hey, I can't do this now.
Yeah.
But I can do it next time. And then people be like, oh, okay. But they never want to anymore. And I think, like, as a leader, that's so wrong because it's like you just said, you got a lot of people that do say no to you. You got a lot of people But it doesn't stop it doesn't stop you from saying, okay, cool, let me use you next week. You know, like it doesn't stop that. And I think, like, as a leader, like, I think we got to start doing that more. It's like realizing that, okay, there's a difference between somebody saying no for the first time in like months than people that are saying consistently, no.
Yeah,
no.
So we use planning center services.
We
schedule our volunteers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say no for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
They say no because I'm going to church.
Mm.
And what a valid reason.
I'm not gonna say no because
I need to worship today, not serve.
Yeah.
You know, I have others who say no because of a soccer game. I had one say no because of a funeral recently. And when that happens, like, I'm so glad that they just typed that little sentence in there to just fill me in on what's going on in their lives. And then as a pastor, you know, and a friend, a brother in Christ, I can just send them a text and be like, hey, I'm praying for you.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
You
know, yeah.
And even better than that, like, this is something that I really try to practice. And rather than just say, I am praying for you, type out that prayer. Because if I typically say, I'm praying for you, the question looms, am I going to forget?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to move on? Is it just going to be in jest or in word? Or am I actually going to do it? And so, you know, word and deed.
You know, yeah, that's
or
so good.
Truth, excuse me.
Yeah.
And so just texting out that one sentence, two sentence prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know, Jesus, cover them today. Jesus, give them peace and comfort today.
Wow.
I think it goes very, very far. And I hope they see, you know, like, when that happens, that it is authentic. And that, you know, I do mean it. And so, you know, but I've had volunteers decline like 6-7 times in a row.
Yeah.
And I just try to have courageous conversations.
Yeah.
Where you let them know, hey, I recognize something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever want to come back on the team,
you have an opening.
You let me know, and then you put the ball in their court.
Mm-hmm. That's so good, though.
All sorts of reasons that they might serve or might not be serving at the moment. You know, we have one lady, she hasn't served in about 2 months because she's taking care of her mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have another guy who quit serving and they moved churches. And, you know, that's a valid reason.
Yeah.
You don't want to serve at our church because you're going to another church? That makes total sense.
Like,
if you have somebody who wants
to
church hop and, you know, switch every Sunday, that's fine. You know, we want people who are in our church to serve us. And if you're going to another church, please jump on their team.
Yes.
Like, we need, you know, churches in San Angelo to have volunteers. And so if you chose to move on, I understand. And there's no shame. You're still my brother or sister in Christ. And, you know, if I see you at school or at a soccer game, a football game, in Walmart, HEB, I'm still going to say hi to you. I'm not going to dodge you in the store.
No, that's so good. Oh, man, that just shows that, like, how far as leaders we got to go. Because, like, to those extra steps matter so much.
It comes back to not taking it personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so crucial because it's like, man, like, you're showing these people that you really care. And it's not like fake care. It's not like, oh, you know, I care. It's about really caring. Because it's like, and I've understood this really kind of being here. It's like, it's the way that I reflect my heart in the service.
Yeah.
And if the way I'm serving, my heart is not being reflective of what it's coming out of, the love, the grace, the mercy of the Lord, then why am I doing it? Am I doing it to be seen and actually, like, let these leaders see that I'm able to be used, but deep down, I'm struggling and I'm battling and I'm tired and I need to rest and I'm scared to say no. And to have those extra steps from a leader to say, hey, it doesn't matter. Rest.
Yeah.
Take a moment. Rewind. Breathe. And the beauty of knowing that, it's like, I'm not going to look down on you. Like, I'm not going to change the viewpoint of how I see you because you said no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's so beautiful because people have that concept in their mind. They're saying, man, I say no, he's like that, this or that. But it's like, no. Mm-hmm. If you say no, I'm going to show you out of love what it looks like.
And I felt like the Holy Spirit was just telling me is in the same way that, you know, we need to make repentance a spiritual discipline and not just something we do every now and again. Same thing with forgiveness.
Like, oh, my Lord, yes.
If, like, you know, I just feel a little bit of, like, resentment or offense popping up in my heart, recognize, oh, that hurt me. I forgive them, Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, just that little thing of, because then what we do is we give the enemy no room to establish a foothold, to build something, you know, a wall of offense in between you and another person. And then what you were saying, that, that fake high doesn't happen. Because, you know, if me and Bailey are in the grocery store and we wave at somebody and then turn and be like, they did that to me.
Well, because
it becomes so backstabbing, backbiting. And that's not what the Lord wants for his bride.
No.
If that person is my brother or sister in Christ, he doesn't want me to, you know, be cannibalistic, because what that is, you know, I'm destroying myself.
Ooh.
Like, if we're the bride, we can't be at odds with our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You know, and then the world looks at us and they're going to see, okay, do I, as a Christian, am I just a hypocrite who hates other Christians?
Come on now,
you know, or do I walk out the word that says, and they will know we're Christians in the way that we love one another.
Yeah, no,
despite the offense, despite, you know, the hurts, you know, can we heal together? Can we walk together?
Oh, man, that's so good. Man, Pastor Mike, you have been dropping some knowledge. You have been clocking tea. You have been clocking. And that's so crucial because, you know, we have this new generation that's coming in and they're very young.
Yeah.
And the leadership position is like they have to be seen as this example of like, but not realizing that you're also human.
Mm-hmm.
And there's needs to be this openness as a leader to be like, hey, you are okay. Like, I love that. You know, I've always told you, like, you know, me coming out of Pulse Evangelism, you know, that's where I got the hoodie and everything. Pulse 100's leader, Alex Hunter, great respect for that man. Like, I feel like you and I, if you and him would talk, you guys would be friends quickly. He would, every single time that he would come and speak to us, every single time, he would be honest. He would be so honest because he's like, I know what it looks like to be in your position.
I know what it feels like to be in your seat.
Let me show you the rawness and what it looks like to really be in your seat, but how to come out of this and know how the Lord is going to lead you.
Yeah.
And one great time that he did that was we had a Pulse 100 retreat with the pastor because the money was in time, whatever. And so we did this thing before I came to Pace, is we went to Arkansas, which is like one of the biggest Christian concerts out there in New York City and all that. And he spoke to us. He said, I didn't even know if we were actually going to have another one. And I was questioning God. I said, God, okay, but if we're going to have another one, how can we keep this still unity?
Like, still unity.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people came, donated and everything. And he's like, but when I see the Lord do something, I have to stand back and thank him quietly, but also thank him publicly in front of you guys. Because not only did he say yes, but you guys say yes because you're here.
Yeah. To me, that's one of the biggest things that can defeat pride. Deflect glory that people are like, oh, Benji, you're so awesome.
Yeah.
And you're like, thanks be to God.
Yeah.
Just deflect that glory, deflect that praise to the only one who deserves it. And that's what your leader did. And he modeled that for you guys.
And he did it so well. Like, even that same one, he kind of cried You know, he became a father again. He had another kid, and so he really showed that vulnerability. And I think a lot of leaders are missing that. Mm. I think a lot of leaders are missing that point of vulnerability. Like, you can see me when I'm excited, but can you see me also when I'm angry?
Mm.
And if you can see me when I'm angry, can you also see me when I'm sad? If you can see me when I'm sad, can you also see me when I'm excited? Can you see me as a leader in all of these points and still respect me the way that I have seen you in all of these points and still have the same respect for you?
Mm.
And that right there is like kind of like that leads me to like my last final kind of question. It's like, is it hard for you to show those points?
Mm.
Especially when you have a new team coming in, you have new people joining and under the leadership and the guidance of Pastor Mike.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you to do that?
I don't think so. I think when we keep ourselves grounded in the foundation of the Word and just recognizing I'm nothing without Christ, then it's, you know, when I'm rooted in that, what do I have to prove?
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
And so, it was while I was yet a sinner that Christ died for me.
Oof.
And so, you know, I'm still a work in progress. And, you know, if we put on a front, then even, it doesn't have to be spoken. It's just subconscious.
Yeah.
If I put on a front, then the people who look up to me, you know, if it's kids, youth, other people, you know, they're gonna model that.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna do it too, and so then they're gonna feel like, well, this is not a place where I can be vulnerable. This isn't a place where I can be transparent.
Yeah.
And you know, if like the leader of Pulse, if we're able to model humility and vulnerability, even in our shortcomings, you know, if we're able to, whether it be in a sermon, whether it be in a one-on-one conversation, whether it be in a team rally, you know, if we're able to say, hey, you know, I have this failure, I have this, you know, I had this fear, or I had this bad attitude, I had this frustration, you know, if we're able to share those things and, you know, also share how the Lord corrected me, and how the Lord brought me out of it, you know, and the way that I repented and aligned myself with His Word rather than, you know, resisting it, I think that it'll lead toward growth in a healthier team overall.
Yeah,
and so I don't think it's hard for me. It's more of, when is the moment to do that?
Because it's like, if you look at it, you know, you know, Jesus, when he did the washing of the feet, he did it at the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
He did it at the moment where, in the houses of the Jewish culture, you have to wash the feet of the master before they come into the house. He did it at the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that is so like what makes it like being a leader
with the 12,
like it makes so like a leader being so crucially important is like, when is the right moment to do this? And reading the room, reading what's going on, understanding your team, that is when you will understand that. And man, Pastor Mike, like I said, you have been dropping knowledge. You have clogged my tea. Like, you are like, man, it's amazing to kind of like, once again, continuously learn from you and grow.
No, thank you.
You know, it's
like, and I come into this and I'm like, oh God, what is going to happen? You know, I don't know
what I'm expecting.
Yeah.
But then coming into this and really seeing the vulnerability that I'm able to really have as a leader, because also like what I'm trying to grow in community, but also what I'm trying to grow as a man of God here, and to really see multiple different men of God and the way that they kind of run their lives, or the way that they kind of run their ministries in a way, the way that they run as examples. It's so just beautiful to kind of see like men as yourself that have been a part of it for so many years to kind of look at me knowing that I'm young in it, and you're like, let me walk with you as if you are seasoned. And it's like, a lot of people don't do that. A lot of leaders don't do that. They kind of see you as the baby and they're like, okay, we'll leave you there. But like, to know and be like, hey, even though you are, let me just still lead you this way as if you are trained, because when I train you, and you actually confront these moments by yourself, you're not going to be nervous anymore. You're not going to be scared. You're not going to be stressed. You're going to see, and you're going to be like, all right, remember what you were taught and do it.
And so as somebody who's in a generation ahead of yours, I just want to tell you, like, I look at the generation of young people, 23 and under, and I see, you know, a gift in them, and it's zeal.
There is
so much zealousness. They're excited for ministry. They're excited to see the gospel taken, and they don't want to wait.
And
I love that. And so for me, it's this balance of, hey, we need to empower this next generation as they are hungry for influence, but simultaneously teach them to not only be a little more patient, okay, to not only be a little bit more patient. It doesn't mean we put them on pause completely.
Yeah.
Because I think we're really going to miss the boat and even have young people get frustrated and leave
if
we pause them completely. But let them know, do not scorn your training. Do not scorn that season where you learn, you know, because we look in scripture, and whether it's David or Moses or Abraham, you know, even Jesus, Paul, you know, they all had their moments of waiting. They had their moments of training where the Lord was preparing them. And I don't think until we're with him that that ever really stops. But, you know, for those coming out of, you know, high school, you know, ready for ministry right out the gates, I think it is up to this older generation of pastors and ministers to see the opportunity, take them under their wing, empower them properly, train them up, you know, in the church, because it's multi-generational.
And
I believe that the church truly succeeds.
And I love that. That's so true. Thank you. Thank you for that, because that, that's so beautiful to understand. It's like the more that you're patient with us, the more that we're actually able to make the difference and make the change even better. You know, like you said, like the leading, the guiding, the putting us on a ring, but it's like the patience to see you blossom. And it's like you're eager. I love it, but let's still be patient. Let's still wait. And so, you know, I want to say thank you, Pastor Mike. It's been such an honor to have you on the podcast, man. I don't know how long we did this, but, you know, I was.
Thanks for having me, man.
I wasn't really planning on, like, okay, this is a set time. I was just like, we're going to let the Lord do it.
It flowed, dude.
It flowed. And that's the beauty of like being able to do it with not only like with people that you trust, people that you've grown with, but also people that you have this really close friendship and relationship with, and knowing that if we were to have these simple conversations anywhere else, this is exactly how it's going to be. And so I love that.
We're at Denny's right now, man.
We're at Denny's. I love Denny's. And that's the beauty of like why I love doing podcasting. I love it because the conversation that I'm able to have with a man that's like far beyond my years of knowledge.
I'm not that old.
No, but like more like just like knowledge-wise.
Thanks,
you know,
man.
Like it's like, you know, you're young and you look young, you know, like my brother, like you're like, I know you're 30 or whatever.
There we go.
But it's like, it's like, but the knowledge that you have, that head knowledge is so far beyond, because it's like even Jesus, he was 12, 13 or whatever years old in the time when you know, Mary and Joseph lost him, and he's like, but I'm in my father's house, and he was teaching, he was educating men that were in this, like, in that
mind blowing
at 12 years old.
Yeah.
And so like just imagine like what you have to offer and what it is. And so I wanna kinda give this some kind of encouragement. As you know, as a Pastor Mike, as a man of God that has been led in so many different ways, do not be shut off to the education, the structure, and the guidance of somebody that's farther than you. Even if they're young, even if they're old, never say no. You know, because as a leader that you learn from them, the more that you're able to be an example of Christ is, because they've lived through it. They've seen it. They know it.
Yeah.
And so if you're able to kind of do that, oh, man, the way that we're able to grow and elevate this life in Christ and able to become better is so much better. So, Pastor Mike, I want to once again thank you for saying yes to being on the podcast. We have tried this many times. And I'm just grateful that the Lord has been seen, known, and understood in this. And I can't wait for people to kind of get to know this, get to know you as well as a man of God, but also get to have an idea of what the Life Church is and what we really stand for, in that, you know, the Life Church just didn't hire just random guys or random people. They hired men and women of God. Like, we're not saying that no church does it, you know, but it's more like, what example that the Life Church is having, and where San Angelo is at, how San Angelo is moving, and just the community that we're able to share. So, Pastor Mike, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Honor, privilege, and a blessing, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, thank you. Thank you. And so I will see you guys next time. Stay tuned, because I have a couple of other things planned out. But without further ado, this is me signing off on UGW. Pastor Mike, thank you. I love you all.